The Buddha, according to the legend, now when we have the legend of a man like this, it doesn't matter whether it's true or false with respect to fact. It has nothing to do with fact. It has to do with the rendition in symbolic forms of the sense of the doctrine. According to the legend, then, when the Buddha was born, his father, a small king in Nepal, had the sages and astrologers and so forth predict something about his child, and they said he was destined to be either a world teacher or a world monarch. And so, himself being a king, favoring the kingly profession, he hoped that his son would not be a world teacher and set about to fix things so that he would be a world monarch. Now, he did this by preventing him from seeing or experiencing anything the least bit unpleasant, so that he would never be disturbed to the extent of questioning life. Now, if you want to prepare a young man to have a real shock when he finds out what life is, this is the way to do it. He turned him over to a wonderful bevy of singing girls and maidens and so forth, and they took care of him so that he should never experience anything the least bit unpleasant. Then, one fine day, the young prince, now around 17, 18, 19, in this critical period of his life, says to his people, "I would like to go forth from the palace." So the father saw to it that there was no sight unpleasant within seeing distance, cleared the streets and sprinkled them with lotus petals and all this kind of thing, and the young man drives forth with his charioteer. People looking from the housetops and all, here was their prince for the first time making an excursion into the city. The deities saw to it, however, that he should have an experience. And the experience he had was that of seeing a sick man. He asks, "What's this?" And he's told, "This is a sick man." And it so sickened him that he has to be driven back to the palace. Well, this story goes on. He goes out twice more. The next trip, he sees an old man, age. And he asks, "Is this coming to me? Is this coming to all?" "Yes." "How can anyone then enjoy life? How can there be this delight in life? I want to go back to the palace." Next, he sees a funeral, a dead man, and he learns about death. Now, we call this today a trauma. He has had a traumatic experience. In our own literature, the man who seems to me to represent this is Melville, brought up in lovely Upper New York State in a well-to-do agrarian environment. When his father dies, he's a youngster, goes down to New York, and an uncle or so gets him a job on a schooner, and they go to Liverpool, and suddenly the suffering, the sickness, the agony, the degradation of life strikes him, and you know how Melville was the rest of his life. There's this split between the beautiful surface of things and the sense of the evil, the horror, the ruthlessness of life underneath. This struck the Buddha. He goes out on one more excursion, and he sees a holy man. And who is this? And he's told, "This is a holy man. This is a man who has gone forth to seek the answer to the riddles and pains and sorrows of the world." And he said, "I'm going to become a holy man." Then there comes a very important and interesting episode. He is so unhappy that his dancing girls and music girls set about entertaining their young prince, and the gods see to it that they should all fall asleep in very untidy postures. And he suddenly sees them as aged and sick and dead. This is known as the graveyard vision. This is what Melville experienced. The imminence, the presence of death and decay and degradation in the picture world of life. And quietly he got up and went out to the stables and said to his charioteer, "I'm going. Fix up Kantaka, the horse, we're off." So out they go, the Divinities of the earth, catch the horses' hoofs so that they should make no clatter on the palace cobblestones, so that no one should know that their prince was departing. His little boy, his son, had just been born. So he leaves his wife and his child, and the horse goes out of the city. The goddess of the city opens the gates by magic. He's gone. And the horse leaps across the river, and he now is in the forest. He takes his princely sword and cuts off his topknot. This is the death to the world, the death to his vocation, the death to his place in society, the death to dharma, the death to duty, the death to that thing which was so important to the Hindus, about whom I spoke 2 weeks ago. Dharma is left. Then he goes from one hermit grove to another, and the Buddhists are really quite cynical about the Hindu austerities. And when he sees these hermit groves and the crazy things these yogis are doing, he says, this is not the way to achieve illumination. He goes from one teacher to another. And there's a moment that is the counterpart of that of Christ going to John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the greatest prophet of the apocalyptic moment of his day, and Christ goes past him into the solitude of the desert. After John the Baptist, Christ goes into the desert, then is tempted by the devil, you remember, and transcends those temptations, and then comes back to teach. So also, the Buddha, or the future Buddha, not yet is he the illuminated one, leaves the teachers of the world and goes forth himself into his own meditations. Well, he comes to a grove where there are five saintly men starving themselves. Perhaps you've seen the Indian figures of the Buddha looking like a skeleton. This is after he has starved himself. He says, when I touched my stomach, I could grasp my backbone. And he said, it came upon me that this is not the way to illumination either, with a weakened body like this. So then he sat under a tree. And this lovely girl came to him. She was the daughter of a local herder, a very wealthy herder. And she had known that she was going to bring the Buddha the refreshment that would restore his health. And she had taken the milk of 1,000 cows and had fed it to 100 cows, and had taken the milk of 100 cows and had fed it to 10 cows, and had taken the milk of 10 cows and fed it to 1 cow, and taken that milk and made milk rice of it and brought it to the Buddha. So in this was concentrated all the power of all these cows. And he ate of this. She brought it in a golden bowl. And when he went to give her back the bowl, she says, I don't take back what I've given. So he tossed it into a stream. And he said, if the bowl goes upstream instead of down, I shall achieve illumination. And of course it went upstream. He is going to move upstream against the stream of life to the source point from which life comes, and he's going to break past that.